Welcome to PESPOD, the insider's guide to the European Public Employment Services Network, or PES Network, with me, David Poyser, a journalist. We have a special extended episode today as this year marks the 10th anniversary of the PES Network. This time we're joined by four special guests, yes, four, who will reflect on the network's 10 years of achievements, collaboration, solidarity and support, as well as sharing their own memories and highlights. Together, we'll look at the opportunities and challenges facing the PES network, including evolution in the labour market, the COVID-19 pandemic, bench learning, AI and much more. I'm with Caroline Mancel, Deputy Director General of Actiris, the PES in the Brussels capital region, who's been chair of the PES network since 2023 and is very much a friend of this podcast. Hello, Caroline, and thanks for giving up your time.
Hello, David.
I'm also joined by Frank-Jürgen Weisser, the first chair of the PES network from 2014 to 2016 and former chairman of the executive board of BA, the German PES, here for the first time on PESPOD.
Hi, David.
France Lebois, former chair of the PES network from 2016 to 2018 and former CEO of VDAB, the PES of the region of Flanders in Belgium, is also appearing as a guest on PESPOD for the first time.
Hello, David.
And finally, I'm with Johannes Kopf, our guest on the first ever PESPOD, chair of the executive board of AMS, the Austrian PES, and chair of the PES network from 2019 to 2023.
Hi, David. Good to see you again, or to hear you again.
Great to hear you. I'm sorry about the floods in Austria.
Yeah, thank you. It is, of course, a challenge also for the public employment service. We start to organize short-time work for companies that have been flooded. In addition to that, of course, there is also a problem for a lot of customers who are not able to come to our offices, and also for some employees here. But luckily, it looks like now it's over the flooding and it starts the repair and cleaning up.
So once again, well done to the AMS responding to the crisis. So straight away, Caroline, as the current chair of the PES network, what is it about the PES network that makes it special for you?
It's already very special to be chair, to have been elected chair since last summer, and to walk in the footsteps of these three big men that we have here today as the first female chair of the network. And as I wanted to get to know the heads of PES better and understand what they expect from me and the network, I right away after being my election, I started a summer tour of exchange with the heads of PES. Of course, I didn't take the plane everywhere, but I did it virtually, and I'm still doing it every year now. I mean, this year again. And what I realized from those exchanges is that all heads of PES are very committed to the network and actively opening up for sharing experience. They support each other, and they all do this with a very high level of trust and solidarity. And that's what I love about the network, and that what makes it very special.
Well, Frank, that's wonderful, because the way it's working so wonderfully together, you were the first chair of the PES network. You were part of its formal inauguration in 2014, and you've mentioned how the European Parliament and the Commission should also be thanked. What benefits did the formalisation of the network bring, and what was it like to be part of the process?
Respectively, an important achievement was the establishment of the former, rather loose, cooperation of PES as an EU institution. Mrs. von der Leyen, at that time German Minister for Labour, paused that development very, very successful.
And from that, Mrs. von der Leyen is the President of the Commission.
Oh, the President of the Commission, yes. You see, in her career, it was important to be Minister for Labour because it's very important for people and business. And from that, the achievement as a formal EU institution the issues of labor became present at the highest level of decision makers. I remember that I, as a chair of PES, once reported in Paris to the heads of state on the situation of youth unemployment in the EU. And this led to several good EU and national initiatives to get young people better in a vocational training and work. My colleagues will remember that with the brand name Youth Guarantee, and we made jokes that it does not mean to be ever young, but to take care on young people who are so important for the development in the democratic EU, and the youth unemployment dropped significantly. And second, I would like to remember that internally in our work, the so-called bench learning process was an important driver for improvement. Bench learning means that the performance of each public employment services in clearly defined, transparent indicators is continuously determined in mutual audits. For example, who in our group is best of making all vacancies visible to all job seekers? Or in which country is the duration of unemployment short and why? Everyone can then learn from each other, and really good solutions can be transferred if the country accepted it and implemented in the own area of responsibility. So I think we had a good starting point, and it's not only formal to be an EU institution, it brought us on the table for the Parliament and the EU Commission, and work and labor market employees and employers are really important for the development of our nations and the democracy.
Thank you so much. You mentioned the Youth Guarantee, which was a fantastic achievement, and bench learning. Looking back, what would you say is the most remarkable achievement in the 10-year journey of the PES network?
Build trust as the heads of PES with each other. We exchanged our knowledge, and as I said again, bench learning, it's not a technique, it's a habit and attitude to have improvement in the jobs that we are responsible for the people. And I think overall, this working together, this exchange of experience, this is the most important development from my point of view.
Thanks so much, Frank. And coming to you now, Fons, you were chair 2016-18. Your motto was innovation.
Yeah.
Focusing on major transformations, VUCA, VUCA was one of them, during your chairmanship. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, of course. As we all know, our societies and economies and our labor markets are more and more confronted with new technologies. For example, blockchain technologies, cobotization, and of course, artificial intelligence. And in my view, the challenge for public employment services is how they can use these new technologies to support integration of job seekers, especially the job seekers with the so-called long distance to the labor market. And in my view, it's not to replace best professionals by robots or to install a digital-only approach, but foremost to strengthen the human-first approach by our best professionals. And as we know, PES are really sitting on a gold mine of data related to job seekers, to employers, to vacancies, to competences. And by using AI and data mining, I'm sure that we can contribute to a real tailor-made approach and guidance based on the different profiles of job seekers and employers. And that's, in my way, the way to go. To use the new technologies to strengthen our human-first approach.
That's great, being so positive about the effect of AI. Thanks so much. Johannes, you served as the, we called you the crisis chair when you were chair of the PES network. It was both during COVID-19 and the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. In your view, what was the value of the PES network during this time, and how do you think the PES network responded to these challenges?
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, I was the crisis chair in some way, and some people said the online chair. As for the COVID pandemic, the main challenge was at the beginning, of course, to keep the network alive and to stay in contact with the network, because every one of us had a lot to do, and all the organizations were fostered to organize instant help for their customers and the companies in, for instance, in the field of short-time work and so. We, of course, instantly moved to online meetings instead of in-person meetings, which was clear, which worked. But the longer it lasted, it was really, I have to say, it was more difficult to keep up the spirit of the network. But we did as we always did. We exchanged on common challenges, searched for solutions, and offered help and support. So it was, of course, also, although the situation with the Ukraine was, of course, different, we shared practices and information on the labor market situation. We shared practices on the way how to integrate the Ukrainian refugees. They started to fled in our countries and how to start and help them and so on. But I remember before we started to integrate these people, within the PES board members, we instantly issued a common statement condemning the Russian aggression and expressing our solidarity with Ukraine. And it was also possible, which was at the beginning not easy to contact, but in the next step, we took contact with the Ukrainian PES to see whether we could offer our help, invited them to join an online meeting, and we started to work together more than we did before, which I think was a good idea.
Absolutely. Well done with all the crises you've survived. And what do you think, how does bench learning and a commitment to transparency and trust play a role in helping the PES strengthen their services and prepare for future challenges?
Of course, the bench learning network is all about getting better together. And bench learning is, I would say, the core product of the PES network, and also in a way a unique approach. As far as I know, no other network of public authority uses such a sophisticated and transparent method to exchange information and to learn from each other. It's really very important to know each other's strengths and challenges. And then this is a prerequisite to help each other. Only if we know and accept in which areas we can benefit from the mutual support, we can also engage in mutual learning. So the bench learning, benchmarking is I would say, a really sophisticated approach. In the essence of bench learning, we have a twofold approach. We benchmark the organization to get the full picture of our performance. But then when you have the assessments, it makes the bench learning so special that you get feedback not only on your performance, but also to look to which countries to find out where to learn from. And this is really helpful, because otherwise in a lot of topics, you always have to look at 27 EU members and Norway, Liechtenstein, and Iceland to maybe look to 30 countries to find out where maybe there is best practice. But within the network, there are so many auditors and experts where they really give you the correct hint where to look. So this is very positive. And I would really say what we manage with the PES network is getting better together.
Yes, and I think you certainly did. So just coming back to you, Caroline, what are your thoughts on the current evolution of the labour market and the role of the PES and the PES network?
Well, we never get bored of the PES, because the labour market has changed much in the last decade and even in the last few years. And we as PES, we have to adapt to that constantly. For example, When the PES network was set up, as Frank mentioned it earlier, many of us were fighting very high unemployment as a result of the 2008 crisis, and youth unemployment was soaring. And since then, we went through multiple crises, COVID and integrating the refugees from the wars in Syria and then recently in Ukraine. As we've managed remarkably well, as the EU's labour market has remained quite resilient. And what we see today is that unemployment is at a historically low level. Youth unemployment also decreased. Even long-term unemployment decreased. But of course, we mustn't let our guards down. Because our economies, they're in transition, integrating new technologies and trying to become climate neutral. And we still cannot tell exactly what the impact of these transitions will have on the evolutions of jobs. What we do see today already are labor and skills shortages. Shortages were not exactly on top of our agenda some years ago. And yet today, they have become a daily concern for many of us, to a point where it could slow down those transitions to a greener and a more digital economy. And so here again, there are important consequences for us PES. As Fons said, we have to address the impact of artificial intelligence and emerging technologies. How are we going to deliver our services in the future? This is exactly what every head of PES talks about. I had it again in my summer tour this year. Everybody says we must make best use of the opportunities offered by artificial intelligence while staying very vigilant because of the ethical and safety issues. Because after all, we're dealing with personal data. And another important point is that we must remain easily accessible to all, because we're public services dealing with humans, and many job seekers have difficulties with computers and lack digital competences. So I fully agree with Fons about the human impact that is important. So I'm very grateful to the network that it takes such a leading role in all these issues, so we PES don't have to invent new solutions on our own, but we can do it together. And we see it in our work program that we're finalizing for the next 2 years. It's very ambitious again. I can tell you career guidance, training, up and reskilling, they're again high on our agenda. It was also last year's topic of the annual stakeholders conference of the PES network, and it was right in the middle of the European Year of Skills. And this year's PES conference will be on rethinking support of those furthest away from the labour market, because we also need to ensure that no one is left behind and, of course, bring more people onto the labour market. In fact, my aim as the current chair of the PES network is to strengthen the network's cooperation with our ecosystem of stakeholders. That's why the stakeholder conference is very important, because collaborating closely with a broad variety of actors is vitally important to help us in being more resilient, in creating new opportunities, in innovating for a better functioning labour market. We need the expertise of actors who work in education, in social services, in social security, in health, etc., to activate more people if we want to raise the employment levels everywhere, the activity levels in Europe. And so we need social partners and employers to improve quality of jobs and create opportunities for lifelong learning. And finally, but not least, We also highly value cooperation with other employment actors, private companies, NGOs, who may have a totally different look on employment services than PES might traditionally have, and they can help us innovate.
That's a brilliant last point. Thanks so much, Caroline. Just to come back to you, Hannes, you played, I think, a key role in transitioning PES board meetings to an online format during the COVID-19 panic, and later facilitated the return to in-person meetings in France in June 2022. Can you share your insights on the challenges and the success of this transition?
Yeah, to be honest, meeting my colleagues in person again in France was one of the best and most touching moments in my chair life, I would say. Meeting online was more a necessity to keep the network alive and going, but we all agreed that meetings in person is the format we all preferred. We shouldn't forget the four of us today, the four chairs of us today, know each other for a long time, and it's in our cases, it's a kind of friendship over the years that have grown. And so it's not a problem if we meet online. But PES world is a dynamic one, and the pandemic was particularly challenging for us. At almost every meeting, also because of political changes of our board, there are new colleagues that we have to welcome in our network. And with the new colleagues, it's hard to establish a personal relation just in an online format. And this personal relation, but is important to build on trust and build the cooperation on trust. So you all lose on one side the possibility to talk bilaterally on specific topics, especially during the breaks. We all love our breaks and the evenings and so on, because there is time to talk on a bilateral basis. These personal talks are also important for many follow-up activities, because we agree on a cooperation between this PES and the other one and so on. Fortunately, it was not it's not done all by our own. Also, our colleagues in the PES that are responsible for the European coordination and the colleagues in the secretariat also managed to keep the network alive. So overall, we managed. But it was a challenging period for the network. I was really, in a fear that we would lose, the trust between us and especially new colleagues.
Well, I think the verdict is from everybody, you did really well. But returning to you, Fons, what was the biggest challenge and opportunity during your time as chair of the PES network? And what about today?
Well, in my view, the biggest challenge of the public employment services was, but also is today, to stay relevant on the labor market and to anticipate on new evolutions and challenges. As Caroline said, the labor market is in constant evolution. As the labor market becomes more and more unpredictable, complex and uncertain, the challenge for public employment services and for the network is much broader, in my view, than matching jobs and job seekers, but foremost to enhance the competences of job seekers and employ people to construct their own sustainable careers. So we should move from an organization dealing with job seekers to an organization dealing with all people active on the labor market. And that's a huge challenge. That was a huge challenge in the past, but certainly also in the future.
Thank you so much. And coming back to you again, Johannes, you're driving forward, you mentioned it before, the AI-enabled services in your PES, such as the ChatGPT Career Counselor. Can you tell us more about these developments and where do you see these trends developing in the PES network more generally?
This is a topic we're all interested in. The technological progress in this area is stunning. It seems that every month developers and companies are issuing new iterations of software or even new products. And also every meeting we have a lot of new best practices or just starting projects of other PES and so on. In Austria, we started with our program Berufsinformat, which is which uses the technological support of ChatGPT in conjunction with our own information on jobs and vocational education. So this is our first attempt to work with, or this was our first attempt to work with AI. We started some others. So far, we are very satisfied with the results, however. Of course, we know about the strengths and current limitation of such softwares. But it's in any case astonishing that each update improves the system noticeably. Looking ahead, I, however, assume that in 3 to 5, maybe 10 years, the AI technology will play a crucial role in our business. It has a significant impact on PES, and it changes the way we work and will work and how PES will function. So I think we all know that it's important to be part of this development process and to contribute to the design of such programs in order to avoid lacking behind. It's also, we are in a competition with private companies in that field. So we exchange not only on best practices in that field, but what's also important and I'm really interested in is we also exchange on the project that were not a success. This is also interesting to hear from the others. And normally people tend not to explain their failures, but if you know each other good and there is a situation of trust, then you also get to that results and that examples. And these are really good learnings. We really should try not to make the same mistakes.
Good point. And coming back to you, Frank, as you've been around since 2014, how has the PES network evolved since 2014 in your view? And what trends do you think will have impact on the PES network in the future?
Caroline brought it to the point. We face the beginning of a change of major changes in the labor market. On one side, in the past, we fought unemployment, especially in Germany, because we did the decision to bring the people out of the social security system into the labor market. And the indicator was if someone is able to work more than 3 hours a day, he is employable. And you can imagine it is very difficult for companies to hire such a person. And still today, we have 1 million people with a longer unemployment than 1 year. It's terrible, and yes, we can explain it. It's due to the high migration of people from foreign countries to Germany. On the other side, we cannot fill vacancies due to the lack of competencies, of skills, of mobility of the people. And this is a typical mismatch in the market, and it's our duty to balance it. So now and in the future, the focus becomes more and more not only subsidies to unemployment, but preventing unemployment by investing in education, integration, and vocational training.
Thank you. And now, just before we move on to a sort of general group discussion, returning to you, Caroline, following the EU elections last June, a new commission was put in place. What opportunities will that offer for the PES network?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud that the PES network published a memorandum for the next European leadership. And in it, we outline key proposals to tackle the current labour market challenges in terms of skills and labour shortages, green and digital transition, as I mentioned earlier. And one key recommendation is the declaration of a European decade of skills. I must say the former commissioner, he picked up our idea and repeated it later publicly. So I'm glad he did. And I also learned that the newly appointed commissioner will have skills and education in her portfolio on top of employment. So I think we can take advantage of that. And another thing we find in it is to use EU instruments to the fullest to manage the structural labour market changes that we are facing. And we also advocate for common European standards on the ethical use of artificial intelligence in labour market contexts. We already discussed it a lot today. And for the rest, I would say, please read the PES memo. It's published on our network, on the knowledge center of our network, and it's very short.
Okay, we'll all get reading.
Okay, and now I'd like to,
and I hope everybody listening will get reading as well. And I'd just like to open the floor up to the four of you, really, just to share your thoughts on the future of the PES network. What do you all envision for the next 10 years of the PES network? So I was going to begin with Frank, then move on to Fons, then Johannes, and then lastly, Caroline. So feel free to comment on each other's contributions as well. So firstly, Frank.
I hear from science and business about following trends that the labor market services must adapt to. First, due to the shortage of public money, there will be less subsidies for unemployment and more money for, let me say, enabling people to succeed in their jobs. Money for education, for continuous vocational training, because it will not keep on the same level within the next 3 years in every business. The second trend, it is said there will be no longer precise, defined, lifelong professions for people. It will change continuously. For example, if someone is today a heating engineer, he will be in the future maybe a software engineer working in home office and not a handyman and control heatings in private buildings. It's only an example. We have a lot of examples in our institute with the Bundesagentur in the Science Institute, IAB, how we assume professions will change. And the third trend, I heard it, due to the unfavorable demographic development, it is in most of the EU countries, it will become necessary to find workers from the outside of the EU, hire them, and integrate them. To do so, it will become a necessity to recognize legally better their school and professional qualifications, their competencies and skills. And it will not be anymore accepted that we have a PhD person in physics, and although we are not able to decide, the person has to drive a taxi to earn money. So we have to be more open or accepting other different diplomas as we do today.
That's words of wisdom from someone who has seen a lot. And then moving on to you, Fons, what do you think about the future of the PES network and how do you envision the next 10 years?
Well, first of all, I really recognize the trends mentioned by Frank, and that's why I was but will always be an advocate for the conductor role of public employment services and the PES network. And I think this role of conductor of the labor market becomes more and more important, given on the one hand the fact that we are living and moving towards this VUCA world, but also given the fact that we should try to include new target groups into the labor market, as well as contribute to a career management approach. And therefore, I also join the view of Caroline that we should absolutely need to open the dialogue from within the world of public employment service, from within the PES network, with our other stakeholders, social partners, private companies, NGOs, to make sure that we can construct sustainable careers for everyone who is active on the labour market.
Thanks, Vaughn. So VUCA, that's V-U-C-A, isn't it?
Yeah. Vulnerable, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous.
And finally, well, penultimately, Johannes, what do you think of the answers you've heard so far, and what's your own answers?
First of all, our chair is Caroline, so she will be the one in charge to steer the network now. And what I really want to say is I hope we improve and go on with the bench learning, because if you stop getting better, you stop being good. And this is for all our organizations, and the bench learning is an important point in getting better. The only thing I'd like to reach is we want to also to become a stronger key player in the field of giving advice to politics. There is so much knowledge and know-how within our PES network that we should develop. It worked over the years, but even to concentrate also on being a stronger voice for helping politicians to take the right decisions.
Okay, finally, Caroline.
I cannot agree more with what Frank, Fons and Johannes just said, but I think we should really focus first and foremost on those labor and skills shortages, and to continue to prioritize this area of skills and the idea of a European decade of skills. I mean, 1 year is not enough to cope with this problem. As Frank said, jobs will be changing. People have to be resilient and adapt to the new way of working in the future. And I also hope the network can be one of the motors behind a truly European educational area where there is automatic recognition of qualifications across member states, and also more cooperation between member states on recruitment of skilled workers from third country, because we will need everybody, even today, but also tomorrow, everybody who wants and can work in the EU. And Fons also mentioned the conductor role. I agree with this, that public employment services on a national level should play this conductor role in the employment ecosystem and bring together all relevant stakeholders to support job seekers through career guidance. And we mustn't forget that's our core mission, to match job seekers with jobs and to give them information, tools and skills to manage this career. But we will have to go further in the future and try to get everybody on the job market. And in this regard, I believe the PES network will continue to contribute to strengthening the PES by providing better services to our users, by sharing PES expertise, by discussing this with European leaders, with the goal of creating employment services that support the role of PES. That's also what's written in our memorandum. And finally, what I think is very important is that the youth of today are tomorrow's future. So we must continue to prioritize young people in our services, aiming to offer opportunities that will help them flourish.
Brilliant. And now just a fun little question for everybody. I wonder if you could all share your favourite memory. I was going to go through everybody in the same order. So, Frank, what's your favourite PES network memory?
Okay. My first trip when I became chair was to France, and I got champagne, which is really not common in Germany.
Brilliant. And Fons, what's your favourite memory?
Well, my favorite memory is when I was traveling in Europe, taking a holiday. I was sitting, taking a beer in Bratislava, and By occasion, I saw my colleague from the PES network, and we were having a drink together. And this is an illustration of the friendship which is built within the network. So it's not only within the network, but also outside the network that we become a close cooperation, that we are seeing each other, that we are exchanging our points of view.
And Johannes?
I know our meetings since 2006. It was the first time I attended a HOPES meeting. HOPES was the predecessor organization, I would say, from our network. And always after that meetings, I sent emails to my colleagues in at home with some ideas of a possible cooperation. But all these projects of cooperation started in the past, were always started by me and my emails. And after some years, in preparation of a next meeting, I asked in my house if there were any projects of cooperation between PES, international PES. And I was really surprised, and this was my favorable situation and memory of the PES network. I was really surprised that there were several projects in my house where PES already worked together with us, which I even didn't know. So it started to run alone without the need of the head of PES. And so, I mean, what else could happen better than they all see the benefits and use the network also by their own?
And finally, Caroline, what's your favorite memory?
I've got so many, but let's say the most recent one is when I was elected chair of the PES network last year in June, because I almost couldn't believe it. It was such an honor for me and also a token of trust. And I must say, every board I chair till now has been a great experience and gives me good memories, because I really feel I can contribute to becoming better PES together.
Lovely closing words, Caroline.
Well, that was longer than normal, but well worthwhile. I hope you all found our exploration and celebration of 10 years of wisdom gained from the PES network as fascinating as I did. A huge thank you to our guests, Caroline, Frank, Fons and Johannes. Thank you to everyone at the PES network for contributing your expertise, enabling us to make this podcast happen. Remember, the PES Network Knowledge Center is packed with valuable resources to help you stay informed and inspired. And also, don't forget to join our LinkedIn group launched earlier this year. Just search PES Network on LinkedIn and you can apply to be a member of the group. Do you have questions or comments following this episode? Please send an email to empl-secretariat@ec.europa.eu. I'll just say that again with the letters empl-PES-SECRETARIAT@ec.europa.eu. PESPOD was produced by the European Commission with technical support from ICF. Thank you all for listening. This is David Poyser signing off until the next PESPOD.